The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Tony Curry here on TKR, the Tony Curry Radio app. You can hear that, of course, 24 hours a day. We do great classic rock and roll and a bunch of different shows. It's one of my favorite shows because I get to hang out with one of my good buddies here, Mark Ingram, the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. And, of course, athletics down there are just humming along. The basketball program is kicking it as well. Mark, how you doing, brother? Happy February to you. You doing all right?
That's right. Hey, good morning, and happy Groundhog's Day to you.
There you go. When we're recording this show, Punxsutawney actually saw his shadow, and hopefully this UAB Blazers squad has a big ball game later on tonight. No shadows tonight. No white shadows. All hoops tonight later on down at Bartow Arena. Make sure you get your tickets if you're hearing the show for the first time. I did want to ask you on this particular day, because yesterday was just one of those tectonic plate days. We had Tom Brady, we had Ozzy Osbourne, and we had Dr. Phil all retire on the same day. I threw the question out a Twitter poll this morning. Which one of those three guys had the biggest impact, period? I was going to say biggest impact in your life, biggest impact in sports, biggest impact. And I did not finish up that sentence for the reason that I wanted everyone to kind of use their own situation. So out of those three guys, Tom Brady, Ozzy Osbourne, Dr. Phil, who's had a bigger impact on Mark Ingram's life?
Well, it's not Dr. Phil. I can tell you that. And, Ozzy Osbourne is a guy, he's sort of in the vein of Kiss, which is, you know, when he was really coming up, people were terrified of him. And that was part of the allure of him, was he was scary. It's like a roller coaster. You're like afraid of him, afraid. What is he doing? Did that really happen? Is he demonic? What is wrong? You know, what's wrong with this guy? You know, but some people followed him because he was just edgy enough, but not so edgy. You know, they were kind of afraid, but you know, they didn't come away from a concert hurt or injured, you know. So he was a big part of, you know, the music industry, right? Because of how different he was, and the sound of his voice is so unique. So, you know, huge, huge impact there. And then I saw a stat yesterday on Tom Brady, which is, you know, he played in 10 Super Bowls. He won 7. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's remarkable. And then next thing, which was that I think he won 35. He won 35 playoff games.
Yep.
Which is the most playoff games of any quarterback. And the next highest is Joe Montana at 16.
16. I know. I saw that too. Isn't that
crazy?
That's
amazing. That's an amazing statistic.
When you talk about guys who, and of course, we'll have a Super Bowl here between Kansas City, who's already won one with Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, and you talk about, and I did a show with Al Greco for 13, 14 years, and he still feels the pain. He still feels, because if they tie that ball game up against the Rams, he's kicking the extra point, they're going overtime, and he's fantasizing in his brain, kicking, this is when the overtime rules were a little different, first team. He was fantasizing in his brain, kicking, you know, a 45-yarder to win the Super Bowl for his Tennessee Titans, and he never got that chance. And it still hurts him. It still hurts him, the fact they got there and didn't win the game. Yeah. It takes nothing away from Tom Brady and the fact that he's won 7. You know, people ask the question, which one's more special? And it usually is the last one. But it really is amazing how often some celebrities and athletes get to that. You know, it's the same people that end up winning 35 Grammys, and some people are just happy to win their first.
Right. They're just happy to be invited, right?
Yeah, it really is. But I mean, you know, from an impact standpoint, and you know, it's interesting because I think 20% of the people actually said that Dr. Phil made a bigger impact, and that may be because he's a psychologist. And he does make an impact to make us feel good. I would say that Ozzy Osbourne was probably a bigger impact, not just for me because I'm a classic rock guy, but musically, I don't know if people in Sweden know who Tom Brady is. The NFL is not nearly as international, say the NBA, because they have a different style of a football outside their country. They know he's a Super Bowl winner and they know that he's the GOAT. But I don't know what kind of impact he actually has. Whereas Ozzy could show up anywhere and fill a stadium.
Probably. And, yeah. You know, hey, listen, no offense to Dr. Phil. I'm just, you know, I'm not at work. I'm not at home early enough to catch Oprah in the afternoon and see Dr. Yeah. So I know who he is, Yeah. And he may have done a lot for a lot of folks.
And I was surprised he was around for 20 years. I was surprised he was around for 21 years. This is the UAB director's chair with the athletic director for the UAB Blazers, UAB underscore AD. If you want to follow him on Twitter, he's Mark Ingram, and kind enough, and we're very gracious to have him every single week here for the UAB director's chair. You can hear it on the TKR app and wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on every major podcast platform out there. Ours through Spotify, Audio Boom, iTunes, wherever you get your stuff, you can hear the show, and it's one of our most listened to shows. So the Alabama Football Coach Association convention went on last week, and Nick Saban spoke again like he has the last 16, 17 years it's gone on, and he was asked the questions about the NIL. I know we talk a lot about it here on the show. It needs to be spoken about, but we're now getting to, and I love kind of riling your feathers up a little bit because I can feel your passion as an athletic director and something that really you cannot control in these collective businesses on the side. But he basically said, you know, I'm getting a little tired of players coming in and dictating how much money they want to make in order to play for my football team. How often does that happen? Are we getting to a point where, yeah, gosh, I remember these kids, they would go around to six or seven different universities and they go to a university they felt comfortable at. They felt like, okay, I can get a degree here and I love this university. It was loving the university more than actually the team they were going to play for. And now it's just a money grab. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I was so glad to see what Coach Saban said. He's an important figure in this discussion because of the incredible amount of success that he's had and the amount of respect that coaches and people in all of sports, the respect people have for him and the way he sees things and thinks. So I think it's important that he feels the way he feels and that he's public about it. And I think when you're trying to build a team, not to be overly cliched, but you can't build it around one individual. You know, it's not an individual game. It's a team sport, and you've got to have people who do choose the university for the right reason. This is where I want to go and live for the next 4 years of my life. These are the coaches I want to play for. This is the sort of team culture that I want. I like the facilities here. I feel like I can get better here. They're providing all the resources, whether it's in strength training or in the training room, if I need rehab or treatment of any kind, I feel like it's got everything that I need to be successful and make me the best version of myself. That's what you should be choosing your school for. Not these guys can give me 50,000 and those guys can give me 80, so I'm going to go over there. Well, okay, but now what? You know, and if you choose a place where you really don't fit, your personality doesn't fit, or you're too close to home or too far from home or whatever it is you think you're looking for, you're immediately not happy. And imagine, Tony, this happens all the time. Five-star players. There are as many people playing in the NFL that were no stars mm-hmm. as there are in the NFL that were five stars. Yep. And so there's a lot of five-star kids who they're big and they're strong and they're fast and they have all these measurables, but maybe they don't have the drive, or they kind of fall out of love with their sport, or that doesn't make these are not bad people. Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't make them bad kids, but they just, you know, they're humans. And just because they're big doesn't mean that they automatically want to play basketball or football or whatever they do. And so for a small person like myself, you know, that breaks my heart. Cause I think, oh my gosh, if I was 6'7" and, you know, 320 pounds, I'd have been a first rounder, you know, but that's just life. Right. And so that happens all the time. A kid shows up or they get some kind of minor injury that they just can't get over. Mm-hmm. You know, and one thing turns into another one and they just sort of go along 4 or 5 years of nagging problems and never pan out to being the person that in high school everybody thought they were going to be. And the point is, so you're paying that, you pay that guy and then they never get on the field, or you pay that guy. And let's say that there's a two-star that shows up that just plays their tail off, and that the amount of effort they give is so great that the coaches take notice and they start that kid, the two-star, over the five-star.
Yeah.
Well, now the five-star is like, wait a minute, I didn't come here to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
And look, you have that money or no money, you have that issue. But if you're also paying that kid, you know, they're like, hey, man, you're paying me for something. What are you paying me for? Well, mm-hmm. then the coach, depending on who the coach is, And I suspect Coach Saban would be this way. Might say, "That's a good question. What am I doing? You know, don't put. I wouldn't. I don't know that I'd give Coach Saban an ultimatum. I've never met the man, but watching interviews and things, I don't take him as a. He seems like a no nonsense guy, and probably not a guy you'd want to cross or give an ultimatum to. So I loved seeing it, and I love hearing that nobody signed with them that. You know, that came for a particular amount of money. Rather, it was more about if you come here and you do these things, you'll earn it. And that's what it's supposed to be about. And I think it creates a better culture in your locker room. Imagine you're a fourth year guy, you're a senior, or a fifth year guy, you're a senior, and some freshman gets paid out of high school to come to your team.
Yep.
And they haven't played it down. You started for 2 years or something, and you contributed a lot to the team, or expect to start this year. This kid has not done anything.
You bring up so many great points here, and I'll say this, and we see this in the National Football League and other sports as well. I think of the Deshaun Watson situation. He's making over $200 million a year. They got to play him, right? And as a fan, I don't care. Yeah. It's not my money. I just want to see a winner. That means the backup guy coming in, and we saw it with Jimmy Garoppolo. We've seen it with a lot of quarterbacks. We're like, okay, Dak Prescott's making a lot of money. If he goes down with an injury and his backup ends up winning football games, what do we do with that? Is there a quarterback controversy? And I could see that happening in college sports. I guess if I'm Trent Dilfer or a college football head coach, these kids are coming out of high school at 4 and 5 stars. I don't know who's chirping in their ears, their parents or agents or whoever else. And if they want to go somewhere else, it's kind of like it's kind of like a woman. I'm going to take you to a restaurant. I'm going to take you out, and you're going to.
I don't know what you're about to say. Well, you're already
gonna,
in hot water.
Listen, Tommy. You're going to have a good time with me, and we're going to have a good time, and you're going to find out that I have a lot to offer you, and so does UAB, right? And I may not be able to give you what a doctor down the street is, but you're going to have a lot more fun with me because we're building a culture here. We're building something special inside of our locker room, inside of our stadium, inside of our fan base, and you'll feel that. And what these kids need to realize. Is they're there for 2, 3, 4 years. There's time to make that money up. I mean, show me on the football field. I wish you could make an NIL deal until you're a sophomore. I know that's not going to fly. But show me what you got, and then we'll find out what you're worth. And then I'm more than happy to go to a collective or whatever and start trying to garner you some money to get you paid. But these kids haven't even taken a snap in college football yet, and they're asking for millions of dollars. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And you're talking about two different things. We put them under the umbrella of NIL.
Yeah.
There is authentic NIL, which is there is some business that wishes to pay you the way that Patrick Mahomes does a State Farm commercial. Mm-hmm. They pay him. It's an endorsement, a celebrity endorsement of their business. That's what NIL is. What NIL isn't, but gets coded as such, is these collectives. And we have a collective called Southside Solutions. But let's call it what it is. Collectives are pay for play. Period. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And so a person who has authentic NIL, and you were asking me about the gymnast at LSU last week.
Yeah.
She's got authentic NIL. She's got so many followers and on social media that when she, let's say it's a clothing line, if they want to do an endorsement with her, or whether they pay her cash or just give her clothes or whatever, however they compensate her, there's a lot of people that see those images on social media when she puts them out because she has so many followers, right? So that's authentic NIL. Just paying somebody through a collective some amount of money to come to their school, first of all, is supposed to be impermissible, though we've not seen anybody even slapped on the wrist over it or even questioned about it. Which again is part of the problem is nobody's doing anything about it from an NCAA perspective, from an enforcement perspective. I wish they would. So authentic NIL, I'm all good with this pay for play. Yeah, you ought to have to earn it.
Yeah,
you ought to have to earn that rather than walk in the door with it. And yeah, it's a mess, man.
By the way, that gal's Instagram was hacked a couple days ago too. It went offline, and she had to come back and correct everything. So. when you get famous like that, people start messing with you. Mark Ingram, the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. It's called the UAB Director's Chair. You can hear it on TKR, and thanks to the tens of thousands of folks who have downloaded the app, and of course, available over at your podcast when we're most listened to shows, because that Blazer Nation gets after it. I was checking our emails while you were answering that last question. info@tonycurryradio.net, and I'd be remiss not to mention, of course, signing day has come and gone, and Trent and Southside, I noticed you got 8 guys signed up, I guess, yesterday, 5 of those guys from out of state. It looks like we have a total of, 34 new additions to Trent Dilfer's recruiting class. How does that compare to past recruiting classes for the UAB Blazers? And it sounds like he's got a crop of guys to look at.
Yeah, he's got a lot of new guys. And there's a rule now. It used to be that you couldn't sign more than 25.
Yeah.
So that rule has changed along with the transfer rules, which is good. I mean, that was one of the good things, you know, where you were talking about NIL and, you know, people, you said people go 3 or 4 years. Well, they used to go 3 or 4 years, but the transfer portal now, in addition to the money, puts people in a position without having to sit out 1 year. They can just emotionally just leave very quickly and basically make a bad decision. But I think it gives everybody this automatic out that they almost expect. I'm going to sign out of high school with this school, but I know I'm not going to finish there. I'm planning on going somewhere else. You know, it almost creates a new culture there. And then, of course, if I go to school number one and I do well and school number two is willing to pay me more than school number one, you know, now we're in a bidding war, which is unhealthy. But I don't know I don't even remember what you asked me about.
Just talking about the recruiting class itself.
Oh, recruiting.
How does it compare to past recruiting classes?
Yeah, so now we can sign more kids. Yeah, sorry, I lost my train of thought. You got me all keyed up on the NIL. the signing classes can be bigger now because of the fact that, you know, you might lose guys through the transfer portal, unnaturally, you know, not in a way that you used to through just graduation and normal matriculation. He's really excited about it. You know, one of the hard things, I don't love this. I don't like it at all. The early signing period, I don't care for.
Yeah.
And the reason I don't like it, which was the December date, I think this year it was the 18th. That is why coaches are being fired in the middle of the season. Because, you know, if whether it's UAB or anybody else, if you make that decision, you're going to make a change, you got to do it in the middle of the season so that you can have a new coach as soon as the season is over, or maybe even before the season ends, so that that person can be evaluating the current roster. They can be evaluating the commitments that the old staff has. Because, listen, you know, the last staff had people that the new staff would like to keep, but they don't, but not everybody. Yeah. So then you know, in Coach Dilfer's case, he had to reach out to some of the kids that were committed to us and say, hey, I think you're a really good player, but I'm not sure you're the style of player for what, you know, our scheme or whatever. You should find other opportunities. So, you know, he sort of trimmed, it wasn't in half. I think probably 2/3 of the kids, or maybe not quite that, 60% of what was committed, he wanted to keep and did. They held firm, you know, with him and with UAB, all but maybe one player. And but anyway, then you're, you know, like I said, you're evaluating the current roster and having that same tough conversation. Hey, man, you're a fullback and we're not going to use a fullback or whatever, that sort of conversation. I can help you find another home if you want to get in the portal, or you can stay here and walk on. But I, you know, that's not pleasant. That's a really unpleasant part of what the portal has created. And then of course you're recruiting, right? Now you're recruiting the portal, you're recruiting high school kids, junior college. And in Coach Dilfer's case, had to walk in the door and do it by himself.
Yeah.
Until he could get a couple of staff members here. And so then you're doing it with 2 or 3 staff, him plus 2 or 3. You know, some of those 2 or 3 were coming from another school who had sort of made a promise to that school, hey, I'll help you through the bowl game. So they're sort of back and forth, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. But his words to me were that the group that we signed in December was dramatically better than he ever dreamed it could have been.
That's good.
Just given all those challenges and limitations. And they feel really good about all of them. And they feel really good about the group that they signed at the mid-year through the transfer portal, who were already here and in class, and now from yesterday. So it's a lot of new faces in that locker room. which has become, unfortunately, the norm in all of sports. Every team, every school, which is a, now you've got culture challenges, right? Now you've got to create a new culture with everybody, because it isn't the way with him. And he's, as a new coach, he's got to say, look, we don't do things the way they used to be. And that doesn't mean that the way they used to be were bad. It's just new people, and how they communicate, how they meet, how they practice is all different. And then year to year, when you rotate, you know, 25-30% of your roster every year, you got to train. You know, you sort of thought you had the last year's group trained the way you wanted to do things. Now you got a whole new group. And listen, you always had freshmen come in and seniors go out, but there's just more of it.
Yeah.
Those numbers, there's just great. It's a greater number of people moving in and out. So you've got to kind of reset every year.
This is the UAB director's chair. He is the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. UAB underscore AD Mark Ingram joins us here every single week talking about some UAB football and other things in college sports. I don't think too many people knew that Trent Dilfer actually came from Lipscomb Academy up in Tennessee. I didn't know. And of course, now everyone down here in Blazer Nation is aware of that. But we did have an interesting email question, info@tonycurryradio.net, from Peter in Gardendale. He wants to know, what kind of football team will UAB be under the tutelage of Trent Dilfer? Him being a quarterback, will it be a high-flying type of football team? Is he defensive-minded? What's going to be the identity of the UAB Blazers, you believe? And I know, obviously, we have to feel our way through his first year, but what does he want his team to look like?
Well, you know, in answering that question, he'll tell you they're going to score a lot of points.
Yeah, that's good.
And he said to our team when I introduced him to our team his first day, right before his press conference, he said to those kids, he goes, if you want to score a lot of points, this is a good place for you.
There you go.
Which, of course, you know, kids on offense want to score a lot of points. Defensively, I think they'll be. I don't think they'll have one style, you know, so I think that's something that is really interesting about him and the way he views defense is you play defense based on the offense you're trying to stop. Once you learn what they're trying to do and how they're successful, then you might change your defense. So I think he could be difficult to defend because I think they could do things differently every week based on, you know, the opponent that we're playing. Which I think is interesting, and I'm really excited to see that. So, you know, Trent thinks differently. I mean, when people meet him, and I hope people will come to 205 Day, February 5th at Iron City,
mm-hmm.
and meet him and the staff and see all these great recruits that we signed. First of all, his approach is high energy. This is going to be like a rock concert. This is not going to be sit down in two chairs and talk. This is going to be a show, which is fun. And but, you know, he talks about developing young people and that football is just a byproduct of developing young people. And if you teach them to be servants and serve each other and serve the community, if you teach them why going to classes is important because it's about accountability, that serving each other and accountability are all basic fundamental principles in having a successful football team. Because if you're not serving each other and you can't be accountable to one another, then you're not ultimately going to produce the results on the field that you want. If you're worried about that test that you have tomorrow that you haven't started studying for and you're not prepared for, you're no good at practice today because that's all you're thinking about.
Yep.
So you're not locked in at practice. And so he talks about how football is really just a byproduct. Football is not first. It's about fifth on the list, you know, these things that he wants to raise, you know, young boys into young men. And through that process, they also sprinkle in football. And he says, and the football is much better. And the football gets really good when you can find that.
To go along with your 205 Day, that's why here at Tony Curry Radio, we don't do podcasts. We do shows. It's a show, baby.
That's right, man.
It's not a shift. It's a show. All right, let's talk about something really, really important. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame announced its 2023 nominees yesterday. I want to go down all of them. There's just about 10 to 12 of them here. And I'm going to give you the name. And I want you to say yay or nay, because I know you're a classic rock aficionado. If you've ever been to a UAB football game or basketball game, Mark picks all the music out. All right? So I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if they should get in or not. Sheryl Crow.
Yes.
Missy Elliott.
No.
New Order.
No.
Here's this is a really interesting because here's the deal, and I'll say this, and I say this about Cooperstown, I say this about Canton. If I have to hesitate,
yeah,
then I feel like the answer is probably no. It should just be a slight, because it's the Hall of Fame. It's the best of the best. There should be no hesitation. If you have to talk me into it, it shouldn't happen. Cindy, go ahead.
I should probably say that to qualify by saying that I don't know, like I'm a Missy Elliott fan. I probably don't know enough about her work.
Yeah.
I like Missy Elliott a lot. I don't know anything about New Order. I don't even know who that is.
Well, it's a good thing you don't work at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
Cindy Lauper.
Love her. Yes.
You think Cindy Lauper should get in?
She was big time. It's just been a long time since she did. I think if you like, again, I don't know who New Order is. If New Order's getting in, then I'm putting Cindy. Hey, if New Order's getting in, I'm putting in Missy Elliott too. What are we talking about?
Well, and Cindy Lauper is still relevant. I mean, she's still touring, and I think that plays. Of course, she's doing she's doing the skin pharmaceutical commercials.
Missy could be doing a lot of production stuff too.
All right, slam dunk, Willie Nelson.
100%. Here's another funny thing, though. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So sometimes I get a little blurry on.
Well, Dolly Parton got in last year. I mean, you know, Dolly Parton got in last year in the Rock. People need to get past the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because rock and roll could be whatever you want it to be.
Right. Willie's the top of the list so far to me.
The White Stripes.
No. I love them, but no.
I agree with you. Here's a tough one. George Michael.
Between what he did as a solo artist and with Wham, yeah, for sure.
You know what? If he's not dead, I don't think he gets in. But I think because he's dead, I think he gets in. And if you want to hear George Michael, just what a great singer he is, go check out George Michael singing Queen. It's crazy. Terrific. He can sing Bohemian Rhapsody. It's unbelievable. Here's one for you, Warren Zevon.
Don't know him.
Lawyers, Guns and Money, Werewolves of London.
Oh, okay.
He didn't have a lot of hits. He was around for a long period of time. He's still around for a long period of time. I got a chance to bring him on stage several times. No, he's an artist, but he certainly infringed.
Does he have one song? He's a one hit wonder.
Well, Werewolves of London was his big song, and he doesn't play that in concert anymore because it's kind of a novelty tune. But he had a lot of But he inspired a lot of musicians.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people would say that he was kind of the beginning of grunge. Kate Bush.
No.
Here's one for you. Iron Maiden.
100%.
Dude,
Come on.
They've been on the cusp for a long time. And as a matter of fact, I think they got a ton of fan votes this past year. People I would have never said Iron Maiden would get in 15 years ago, but I've heard about them. Did you ever see them in concert?
It is one of the only shows that I have not seen that I wish I could see.
Dude, they're still touring. You could go see them.
Yeah, but you know what, Tony? It's almost 100% in Europe and Japan.
I know.
They almost never come to the United States. And the fact that they weren't in 10 or 15 years ago is an embarrassment to the whole thing.
I agree with you. Rage Against the Machine.
No.
Not a big fan. Never got into the music.
Loved them, but I don't say it because of that. I just don't know that they did enough.
Saw Chris Cornell in Soundgarden at Tuscaloosa about 4 or 5 years ago, and of course he committed suicide several months after that show in Tuscaloosa. Soundgarden, should they get in?
I'm it's kind of the same way there as I am with Rage Against the Machine. I don't think Soundgarden did enough. Now Chris Cornell did a lot.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And finally, I know what you're going to say here, the Spinners. Oh, wow. You're taking some time to say the Spinners.
You're talking about the Spinners from like the 60s, 70s?
Could it be I'm Falling in Love? Yeah.
The
Rubber Band Man?
Lock them down.
I was so uncool in my 20s. I was listening to Bread in England, Dan and John Four Cullies, probably because I was such a late bloomer. But boy, when I hit it, it was on.
Now, I loved all that. You know, I told you my dad was in the radio business, and so I grew up with what we all used to call oldies and beach music. And so, you know, I could talk about the Mamas and the Papas and the Temptations and the Beach Boys and Marvin Gaye and the Four Tops and the Four Seasons and that kind of stuff. I could talk about that all day. And so, I grew up, I was a nerd too. Cause I thought all that stuff was, all my friends were like, man, have you heard this guy, Garth Brooks? I'm like, I don't know. I'm listening to, you know, Don McLean. I'm too busy listening to Don McLean.
No, I love me some spinners, man.
American Pie.
I used to go in clubs when I was working in Louisville, Kentucky, and I'd go in there and request the spinners, and they look at me like I'm crazy. They're like, you can cut this guy off. It's noon. He's had too many to drink. And I'm like, no, man, play the Rubber Band Man from the spinners. They're like, no one's going to listen to that. I'm like, I will. It's amazing what a tip will do for you. Hey, Mark, great stuff, man. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for your time. We'll catch up next week at UAB Director's Chair. Wonderful job as always.
Appreciate you, man. See you, buddy.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.